Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is a pretty disturbing story. And while I began to tell it, I could feel goosebumps on my skin. My daughter Lisa is the sunshine of our life. My wife and I can't live without her. But 4 years back, we almost lost her to a terrible accident. It all started when Lisa turned 5 years old. I'm a graphic designer, and my wife teaches at a preschool. So basically, I'm a full-time dad as well. I love spending time with my kid, but whenever I get too busy with work, I give Lisa small tasks to keep her busy until my work is done. Among every other activity, Lisa loves to draw. This is some habit she picked up from a very young age. Whatever she thinks or likes, she sketches them on her drawing book with her tiny little hands, and I just adore this quality in her. So it was a regular Monday evening. My wife watched TV in the living room, and I was working in my studio. Lisa played with her monster truck sitting on the couch right next to me. She is a quiet kid, which is why I loved having her around, even though I was working. Everything was fine until she struck up a weird conversation with me. "Daddy?" Without taking my eyes off the computer screen, I replied, "Yes, my darling." "Can I ask you a question?" "Sure, what is it?" "Can Spike sleep in my bed tonight?" Hearing this unknown name, I turned to look at her. She was still playing with her monster truck in the same casual way. "Who is Spike?" "My friend."
"Is he a friend from school?"
"No, he lives under my bed." I frowned and thought this was a bit unusual. I never expected Lisa would have happened to have an imaginary friend. So out of mere curiosity, I asked, "Why does he live under your bed?" Lisa looked at me and shrugged her shoulders, saying,
"I don't know."
Realizing this was just a phase and it was pretty normal for kids to have imaginary friends, I said, "Sure, he can sleep on your bed if that's what makes you happy." She gave me a joyful smile, and the matter ended there, at least for then. The next morning I came downstairs and my wife said Lisa asked for an extra pillow last night when she went to tuck her into bed. I worked late nights, so I had no idea this happened. My wife further told me that Lisa said it was for her friend Spike and that I had permitted him to sleep on her bed. Recalling the conversation with my daughter yesterday, I explained everything to my wife. Though I didn't bother much about this imaginary friend thing, my wife certainly didn't seem happy about it. She said I shouldn't encourage such behavior as it was pretty creepy. I laughed at her thoughts, but within the next few weeks, I too realized that something was wrong about this entire thing. It was a rainy afternoon. Lisa was out to see her grandma with my wife, and I was cleaning the house out of boredom. I entered Lisa's room thinking to arrange her toys when I noticed her sketchbook peeking from under her pillow. It was as if she purposely kept it there so that no one could see it. My curiosity got the best of me, and I opened her sketchbook. The first three pages were fine. The horror began on page four. On page four, Lisa had drawn something very disturbing. She drew all three of us standing in our garden, holding hands. But there was a fourth character in the picture as well. A human figure that looked like a kid was also standing beside us. Except the kid had no face, and there was a big hole in his head. Above his character, Lisa wrote his name, Spike. Feeling freaked out by this, I waited for my daughter to come home to confront her about it. When she came home, I showed her the drawing and asked, "Is this your friend Spike?" She quickly looked at me and then, scaring the hell out of me, looked behind me, as if someone was standing behind me. I quickly turned around, but I didn't see anyone. By this time, my wife also noticed the tension between us, so she quietly stood beside me.
What is there, Lisa?
Nothing.
You didn't answer my question. Is this your friend Spike?
Yes.
Why does he have a hole in his head?
Oh, Daddy, you're so silly. That's not a hole. That's his eye.
What? Where's his other eye, then?
He has no other eye. He's my one-eyed friend.
At this point, I could feel a cold wave of fear rush down my spine. My wife and I exchanged a fearful look, and then I crouched down to Lisa's level. I didn't want to come out strong, because kids can be very impressionable in moments like these. With my trembling hands, I caressed her cheek and said, "Why does Spike have one eye?"
"He says he was born different. That's why his mommy and daddy didn't want him."
My wife's face turned completely pale, like she was going to have a heart attack. I too was shocked and didn't know what to say for a while. I let out a deep breath and said, "What else did Spike tell you?"
"He said you and mommy want a little brother for me, and once he comes, you will not want me anymore."
Now this is where I almost shat my pants. Last night, my wife and I did have a conversation about trying for a boy so that Lisa could have a sibling. But there's no way Lisa could know about it. It all happened in utmost privacy, and I can assure you that when we had this conversation, Lisa was deeply asleep in her room. My wife almost burst out into tears, and I immediately hugged Lisa, saying,
"No, no, no, that's never going to happen. Mommy and I will always love you the same way we do now.
I don't know where you're thinking all this, darling. You know Spike is not real, right? He's just in your mind. You won't even remember him once you grow up. This is all just a..." Before I could finish, the light bulb in our living room burst with a bang, shattering broken glass everywhere. We were so stunned by this unexpected event that we all froze like statues. That night, we all slept in our room, and I decided to stay with my parents, taking my family away for a while. It was around 2:15 in the morning when I heard a weeping sound coming from a close distance. The room was in darkness, and the only source of light was the moonlight coming from the window behind me. I opened my sleepy eyes and saw a kid standing near my feet and weeping. Thinking it was Lisa, I said in a dizzy voice, "Lisa, why are you crying? It's late. Come on, sleep between mommy and daddy. Good girls don't cry." But she kept weeping constantly. Her entire body was in darkness, so I could barely see her face. Being a bit surprised that my wife couldn't hear any of this, and I was sleeping like a rock, I got up on my bed to grab Lisa's hand. As I stretched my hand towards hers, she, too, placed her hand on mine. Her hand was so cold that it almost gave me frostbite. "What the hell? Why is your..." Saying this, I looked beside me and saw Lisa sleeping like a rock, and so was my wife. As I slowly turned back to this unknown kid standing near my bed, my heart dropped into my stomach. A distorted, tiny human figure resurfaced from the dark. The moonlight fell on its face, and I realized I had been talking to my daughter's imaginary friend, Spike, this whole time. Lisa was right. The kid had only one eye, located right between his head. His skin was horrible, filled with red patches. It seemed like he had been burnt. He kept staring at me with one eye and then blinked. Slowly, tears of blood started to drip from his eye when he opened his mouth, letting out a silent scream. I couldn't bear this terrifying sight anymore, and I ended up crying out loud. My wife and Lisa woke up, hearing my spine-chilling scream, and switched on the lights. As soon as the lights hit the room, the scary kid was nowhere to be seen. I couldn't sleep the entire night, and neither my wife.
Though I told her it was just a nightmare, she felt something off-putting about my behavior. The next morning, I left the house and went to stay with my parents. I told my dad about this entire messed up incident, and he did some digging on the previous owner of the house. We found out that there lived a family of three before us, the Carmans. Mr. and Mrs. Carman had a son who was prematurely born. Unfortunately, the kid died due to complications when he was 5 years old. It was said that the kid was born with a single eye, and his name was Spike. His parents despised him, and no one knows how exactly the kid died. Some even say his parents killed him out of anguish and hatred. That was the last time I saw Spike. Lisa suddenly stopped talking about him after we shifted to a new house. If you ask me, I feel really bad for that poor kid. If anyone deserved to die, it was his horrible parents, that's for sure.
"This is such a boring party," Camilla said with a yawn. I looked around and saw Tommy and Hillary dozing off too. I didn't want to blow off my chance with Camilla, so to cheer up the mood, I called out to our fifth guest, Simon. Simon and I became friends recently. Generally, our group consisted of the four of us, but that Friday night, Simon joined us quite unexpectedly. He's a fun guy and generously invited us to spend the weekend at his parents' farmhouse. The snowfall outside made the weather chilly. He was putting more wood in the fireplace when I said, "Yo, Simon, seems like we came to a sleeping party. Let's fire up the night, man." "Yeah, I was thinking that too." He sat down to the big armchair and said, "I think we should play something."
"I'm up for a drinking game."
"You don't need a game to drink, Hillary."
"Shut up."
I stopped Tommy before his joke resulted in another argument. We sat down and Camilla said,
"But what should we play?"
"How about truth or dare?"
"No, that's so kiddish."
I was thinking of group games that could be fun when Simon said, "Are you familiar with the game Simon Says?"
"Ooh, yes, that was a fun one. It would be so dope for you, 'cause you are Simon."
We all laughed at this, but Simon carelessly smiled. He then said in a curious voice, "I remember playing it with my mom. She always made me clean my room whenever we played this."
"That's why you should never play games with your parents."
"So Tommy, did you play this before?"
"Yeah, Jack and I used to play it in middle school all the time, until we got into some serious trouble."
"What? What kind of trouble?"
"I don't think that's a good story for a party."
"Oh, come on, tell us."
"Guys, it's better if we just forget it. Tommy and I had our fair share of regrets on this matter."
Everyone's face turned serious, and a memory from my past flashed back into my eyes. "We are all your friends, and sometimes sharing helps you move on in life, Jack." Hearing Simon, I couldn't repress any more. Honestly, Tommy and I never talked about this, so still sometimes at night, I wake up with nightmares because of this memory. I cleared my throat and said, "Tommy and I often played this in school. Usually it was kid stuff, like Simon Says, eat dirt. Simon Says, give the chocolate pudding to your friend, etc. There was a teacher in our school named Mrs. Collins. She used to scold us a lot whenever we didn't do our homework or broke any rules. One day, Mrs. Collins took us with a surprise test, and Tommy and I got caught for cheating. She sent us to detention. We were getting bored in that big empty detention room, so we started playing this game. Mrs. Collins said to wait there, as she would be back to teach us a lesson. We were just kids, and we were pissed off for her strict nature. Getting bored, we started playing the game until she came. It began with, Simon says, jump from the table. While playing this game, we found super glue in the room. So what? What did you guys do?
I told Jack. Simon says, stick the glue on Mrs. Collins' seat. After doing that, we waited, and Mrs. Collins came and sat on it. We laughed because she immediately realized that we put glue on her chair. As she got up with the chair stuck behind her, she tried to approach us and tripped and fell on the floor. The wooden chair broke with her pressure, and a sharp wooden edge pierced into her lungs from the back. She died in front of our eyes, choking on her own blood.
Oh my God! And you guys did nothing?
We were so shocked and scared from that moment, we forgot to move. But then we called the principal, and our parents came too. The cops came and took away her body. It was all an accident. Trust me. The room drowned in silence. Tommy hid his face inside his palm, and I looked away in immense regret. I wish we didn't do it back then.
Well, like you said, it was all an accident. I'll get more wine, then we can start the game.
It's okay, Jack. Don't think about it.
I smiled sadly as Camilla consoled me. Tommy started loitering in the room nervously. I could see the discomfort on his face. I know he blames himself for what happened to Mrs. Collins, as sticking the glue was his idea. Suddenly, he stopped near a wooden cupboard. He picked up an envelope with his hand shaking and said,
Jack, what is Simon's full name?
Why?
He handed over the envelope to me. It looked like a tax document from last year. On the surface, it was written, To Simon Collins. The hair at the back of my neck stood up. Hillary and Camilla exchanged a horrified look, and we heard Simon's voice from behind.
Shall we begin the game, boys?
So, Mrs. Collins, she was my mother, whose horrible death got ruled out as an accident.
Why?
Because her murderers were two young kids? And what about me? I was a kid too. I grew up without a mother. My dad turned into an alcoholic after she passed away. Our lives got ruined. And it was all because of you two.
He raised his left hand and I saw that he was holding a gun. He pointed it at Tommy and said,
So, Jack, Simon says, slap your friend hard on his cheek.
Simon, please, you don't have to do this, okay?
Simon says, slap your friend.
I looked at Tommy, and he was sobbing already. Not having any other option, I slapped him hard.
Simon says, break Tommy's nose.
Please, we're so sorry.
Do it, or I'll shoot him right now.
I looked at Tommy with a helpless face, and I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I punched onto his nose, and Tommy fell on the floor screaming. My knuckles broke too, hitting his nose, and we were both bleeding and praying this torture to stop.
We'll go to the cops, accept that we murdered your mother. Then we'll be sent to prison.
We'd do it if that's what you want, Simon. Just let us go.
Nothing you two will bring her back.
Simon says, jump out the window.
What?
Do it, Jack, or your friend dies.
It was a two-story house. Jumping from the window won't kill me, but it will surely injure me, or even paralyze me if I broke the wrong bone. With shaking feet, I walked up to the window. I heard Tommy scream.
kill me. Just kill me. Jack, stop. You don't have to jump. Shoot me, Simon. Let's just finish this once and for all. Right then, Camilla jumped onto Simon, making the gun slip from his hand. I didn't wait for a single second and grabbed it. Before he could get up, I poured all 6 bullets right into his chest, and he never got up again. Everyone stood like a statue for a minute straight. And then Tommy broke the silence. What now? What do we do now? We'll bury him in his garden. And now here we are, digging up a big hole in Simon's garden. Thankfully, there's no other house nearby. Hillary and Camilla are helping Tommy as my hands are still shaking. I just hope this is the end, because none of us will ever play Simon Says again.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No